Attention in the pits. Attention in the pits. Welcome back to another episode of the Backup Girls Official with my lovely co-host, Miss Emily.
Guys, we're so happy to be recording another episode. We're currently 1 week out from Eddyville, and if you can't tell by our voices, we have had some very long weeks getting ready for this race, but we also did something super fun last night. We were part of the Funny Car Chaos Live, which was so much fun.
It was a blast.
Yeah, so me, Bonnie, and Miss Amy, the Queen of Diamonds, that we interviewed a couple episodes ago, were all part of it, and it was so much fun, and we were the first episode of All Bugs to be on it, which is awesome.
Making history.
So, oh, yeah. You know it.
That's what we like to do, though. Make the history. Okay, so today's going to be a little bit different. It's not different. It's just it's going to be Emily and I because I am going to interview Miss Emily. So you guys can get to know her outside of the track as well as inside of the track, I guess, even though some people know how you roll. But first off, got to give shout outs to our sponsors. We have Kingdom Medium Media. I do that every time. Media Company. They are the masterminds behind our pages and the intro and exit of our podcast that did our music. Double D Med Spa in Dumas, Texas. We've got RW. What am I even reading? Goodness gracious. R40 Trucking out of Kansas. We've got Car Chicks. She's at all the Funny Car Chaos races.
At all the races all over the country.
All over the country. That chick is anywhere and everywhere. She lives a pretty sweet life. A Chick's Eye View and then Outlaw Truck and Trailer out of Colorado. So quite the sponsor community we have already.
We've got some awesome people behind us, backing us and supporting us, and we're so grateful for everybody that's put their faith in us for this stuff.
Yes, faith. That good line on that one. Couldn't have said it better. Also, another shout out to Karen and Kathy for the $100 towards best dress for every race that you and I have come up with the themes for. Mm-hmm. Just trying to mix it up, make it fun, not the same old thing. And I guess you could say like kind of getting everybody out of their comfort box using their imaginations.
It spices it up a little bit on the weekends, gives people something to look forward to. And what better way to encourage people to participate in something than by putting money up.
Right, exactly. And then also, we did talk about that a little bit last night on the live, but which when this drops, it'll be next Tuesday. So any hoosers, we decided also to, from us to the winners, to give those special engraved tumblers.
Yes, which we will be, those are courtesy of Rue Forged out of Louisiana. They do all kinds of laser engraving, embroidery, custom. They made our trophies for the big contest that we had in Ennis. They do all kinds of pretty much anything custom that you can think of, they do. And they are so amazing and easy to work with. And if y'all need anything done, like they do the tumblers, they do hats, t-shirts, everything, shoot Trey a text message and tell him the Backup Girl sent you, and he'll get you handled.
Yeah, they'll get you hooked up. I know they're making some for our team, the Man of War. So,
and they look so good.
Do they? I think I've seen them. I don't know. I'm just excited about the Eddyville one us.
that one's going to be really cool. So make sure you guys keep your eyes out on that. We're going to have one at every race weekend. There's going to be a different one, only one for each race. So only the winner gets it. So you better bring your A game.
Guts to bring that A game. Okay, let's jump into this. So when we talk to the other ladies and just kind of get to know them, and talking to Amy before last night and like you and I talk all day, every day. She was like, I absolutely love listening to you guys' podcast because it's like you think that you know somebody, but there's always something more that you can either learn about them, or they'll say something that you're like, man, that hit, that's good, or whatever. And so I truly enjoyed hearing that. That like made my heart happy. When I did my old podcast, that's kind of what it was about. So, different aspects of life. And like you've said before, if it wasn't for Funny Car Chaos, then none of us would know each other, be in each other's lives or anything along those lines. Okay. So let's just start out with like, let's introduce yourself. What are you all about? Right. What is Emily about?
So for those of you that don't know, hi, my name is Emily. I am the backup girl for Alex Barker's Back in Black GTO. I am from Wiley, Texas, just down the road from drag racing legend Ronnie Young. This is my second full season coming into the Funny Car Chaos. I was introduced to it, well, introduced to Alex in late 2021, and the following year he asked me to back him up at a race, and the rest is history.
So, okay. We've dabbled, or you have, the full story of how you and Alex met. Cause I know some people have asked me and I was like, I think they're races. I don't know. So did you and Alex meet?
So I was at the NHRA Innis race in October of 2021. You know, it's in October every year. And I was just hanging out with some friends, and my mom calls me and she was like, hanging out over at Scott Palmer's pit, and she goes, hey, you need to come over here. I've got this kid you have to meet. I was like, okay, whatever. You know, mom's tried to get me to meet people at the races before, so I was just like, okay, whatever. It's probably somebody's kid that I met before, somebody that she thinks that I would think is cool, yada yada, whatever. Well, I go over there and it was Alex, and so I met him, introduced myself, and it was really awkward because, you know, these two
really awkward,
just barely past teenage kids talking. Like, it was almost like an arranged date, you know?
Right.
It's like, okay, you have to sit and talk to him. But we, like, slowly started talking more, loosened up a little bit, and have not stopped talking since. Even we were pretty much, like, dating without being in a relationship for a full year, and we still talked every single day. And then the following year at the same race, I looked at Alex and I said, you're my boyfriend now.
You're my boyfriend. Did you guys make it Facebook official?
Yeah, I made him wait until our 1 year anniversary to make it Facebook
official. Wow. Hard to get, yeah. You are. I like it.
Yeah, well, I still posted him on Facebook, but I didn't like change my relationship status until 1 year.
Serious folks, when it's Facebook worthy.
Exactly. And that's what I said. I got to wait till he was committed to do it.
I love it. Okay, so goodness gracious. We are
the funny story behind me and Alex actually meeting for the first time. Didn't realize it.
I was like, do I not know this? Yeah, go. I want to hear it.
Yeah, so when I first met Alex, I was like, man, I swear to God. I was like, man, I swear I've seen this kid before somewhere, but I can't put my finger on it. And I got to talking to him that night in Innis, the first night we ever met. And I was like, hey, they started talking about the car that his dad used to run. They used to run the Outlaw Anglia, and they would run like coast to coast, west coast to east coast, going to all the different races. And I was like, hey, did y'all ever take your car to the March meet, which is a big,
yes,
basically Funny Car Chaos equivalent in Southern California. I was like, did you ever take your car out there? And he was like, yeah, we ran out there a couple of times. And I was like 2016, 2017, because I used to go out there with my Uncle Nate and his fuel altered. And I remember 1 year, it poured rain Saturday night, and so we had to rush to get the pit. Basically, what happened in Odessa was what happened in Bakersfield that weekend. So we had to rush and get the pit tore up and get everything put up. And then we ended up walking around the pits and ended up at, I had no idea who these people were. All I remember was that they had a fire pit in the middle of their pit that was a washing machine barrel.
That's classy right there, folks.
The center of a washing machine. Had it as a fire pit, and I was talking to this kid.
It's kind
of
smart, though.
Yeah, it worked because it was freezing and everybody was huddled around it. And I ended up talking to this kid who was close to my age, and I remembered because there was never a lot of kids my age there, and it was him and his dad. And we talked for like an hour, and I never saw him again. I was like, man, I never even caught his name. I don't know who that was. I'm never going to meet him again, blah, blah, whatever. Okay, move on with my life. Well, I start connecting the dots, and I was like, that was you that I met. He was like, what? No, it wasn't. But he didn't want to embarrass me in front of everybody, so he just went along with it and then texted me like a week later. And he was like, hey, by the way, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I just didn't want to embarrass you in front of everybody, so I didn't say anything.
What a gentleman, but what a jerk face at the same time.
I know, and I was like, no, I swear it was you. And as soon as I brought up the fire pit, he was like, oh yeah, that was me.
I do remember.
And I was like, wow, that shows how memorable I was to you.
Yeah.
I remembered you all these years later, but you couldn't.
Dagnabbit, Alex. Do better.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Cherry on top of it all, come to find out, the event poster for that weekend, me and him both had, and it's a double-sided poster, so it's got a different image on both sides. Me and him both had the exact same side of the same poster hanging up in our bedrooms.
Oh my gosh. True love right there. Everybody else has like NSYNC and Britney Spears. No, I didn't have any of those. That's crazy. Well, and then you've also posted a picture of your dad, right?
Yeah. So that was, it was either at the Marsh meet or at the Hot Rod reunion, which was another big race in SoCal. And it was the original owner of Alex's car. The guy that built the car was racing it. And my dad and all his buddies used to go out there and they would park on the, because you know how there's like the pit side and then the spectator side,
right,
at our races? Well, it's the same thing out there. Well, they would park their, they'd go and stay out there for the whole weekend, and they bring their campers and their buses and stuff and park on the spectator side right at the finish line. And somebody had posted a picture of the GTO, and I looked at it and I zoomed in super close and I saw my dad in the background of one of those pictures. He was standing on a ladder with his phone up because I knew he was either recording a video of it or taking a picture of it. And I was like, that's how I know that he is watching over me and that he would approve, because I know he watched that car and thinking that, that was the coolest thing going down the track. And now he's my boyfriend.
It gave me goosebumps. It gave me goosebumps.
Oh, me too. I was like,
that's a good story.
I found the picture. I was sitting at work and I was like silently crying.
Aww.
At my table, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is,
it's meant
like,
to be.
I felt like it was fate. Almost
a little bit. Yeah like I said, I have goosebumps on me now. I mean, I knew the picture story. I didn't know most of that, bits and pieces. Yeah. But I did know
the funniest part about that was I sent the picture of it to my mom, a screenshot of the picture, and I said, hey, check this out. And she goes, oh yeah, it's Alex's car, whatever. And I was like, yeah, look in the background. And she goes, okay, what about it?
Yeah.
And I was like,
good
look
old
at the guy.
Stacey.
I said, look at the guy standing on the ladder. And she goes, okay, what about him? And I was like, that's Dad. And she goes, no, it's not. And I said, Stacey, look at the picture. It's Kevin. And she looked at it and she goes, well, no shit, it is.
I love it.
It's just like the crazy, like, I believe that we're all connected in some way, you know?
Right.
It's direct or indirect, everybody's connected in some way or another, and that just like proved it for me.
Yeah, you got proof too, like legit proof,
like photo evidence proof.
Photo evidence of that one. Okay, so that kind of dabbled on how you got in, not necessarily into racing though, but okay, let's stick with outside the track yet. But like, I think most of our Funny Car Chaos family know what you do for a living, because you have saved the day a couple of times in the pits. But for those listening who know you by Back in Black, what does Emily do for a living?
So my fun job that I have is I work for the Southern Drag Boat Association as their merchandise girl and their trophy girl. So I do that. Pretty much any weekend that we don't have car races, I do that, because they're staggered pretty perfectly, like, away from each other.
Is that why Chris is doing this? He's like, this works for Emily, so here we go.
Works out perfectly, except the banquets are always stacked on top of each other.
Oh, yes,
I'm working
that is
on
true.
That one. But my real job, as I like to say, is I am an ASME certified code welder. So I work for a company that builds emission systems for natural gas plants as a welder fabricator.
Amazing. a lot of titles right there, folks.
It's basically a lot of words to say that I stick metal together for a living.
I love it. I don't know if I've ever, in like all honesty, I don't think I've ever met another woman that's a welder. Oh God, what is wrong with my voice? A welder. Especially one for like a living. Now, like, you know, the women that live on the ranches and have to like weld their fences together here, there, and yonder, maybe. But like, legit, no.
5 days a week in a shop.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We're definitely more few and far between than most other women in the trades and all that stuff, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love it.
What made you want to do it?
I always thought that it was like cool. And then when we moved to Texas, and I was signing up for my classes, I saw that it was an option as like an elective to take at school. And I was like, man, I really, really want to try that. And I wasn't able to do it my first year that we moved here, my sophomore year. But then my junior year, I had a free period and I was like, I'm going to do it, because I had made friends that were in welding. And I was like, this is the perfect time for me to try it. So I did it and fell in love with it. And I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. And then my senior year, before I went to, in between graduating high school and leaving for a trade school, I got a paid internship with a company that does super ultra high purity stainless welding for like semiconductor plants and hospitals and stuff. And so I spent the summer between high school and college refining my skills a little bit more and learning a little bit more about the real world aspect of welding, because, you know, welding in a booth in a high school is nothing close to being in the real world. So that gave me a little bit more experience. And then I
feel like nothing in high school, and like if you were to go to like a university college like I did, the real world is nothing what you learn. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you really learn when you're in the field, regardless of what it is, you learn in the field.
I thought I knew what I was doing almost for a little bit. And then I got, when I was in college, I was working for a family friend that builds like the big utility work beds and stuff for trucks, the big flatbeds and stuff.
Right.
And that was like a huge difference for me, because I thought I knew what I was doing, and then I actually started like doing it professionally, I guess, like as a career. And I was like, well, I have no clue what I'm doing. I do now, but I didn't. I thought I did before, but I actually do now.
I actually do now. So that makes everybody feel comfortable.
Well, you know what they say, fake it till you make it, right?
100%. 100%. Okay. Tell us something about yourself that most don't know.
Oh, God, that's a tough one. A lot of people think that I can be kind of like, I don't want to say like rude, but I have a really bad RBF, especially when I'm at the track. And I know I've been called out on it before.
But
and
like,
people always think,
in your defense, 9 times out of 10, it's hotter than Hades. Our sunglasses are falling off, or it's loud, we're hot, we're sticky. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to help you out
also,
here.
Also, in my defense, it's the sun is beating down on the track. So I kind of have to pick. I'm blind as a bat without my glasses on, and I don't have prescription sunglasses because I know that I will lose and or break them, and so I'm not going to spend the money on them. So I have to pick between seeing clearly or being able to see with my eyes open and not squinting because the sun is so bright. So if you see me in sunglasses at the track, 9 times out of 10, if I'm giving a dirty look, it's because I'm trying to,
because like, you can't see them,
my brain to recognize what I'm looking at.
The fact that you can actually back up Alex in the groove, that's impressive, because you can't see.
I can see Cody's arm, and that's all I need to see.
Right.
Yeah. And so at night I have him hold up a flashlight whether or not I have my glasses on or not, he holds up a flashlight so that I can actually, like, see.
Yeah, there are times that, like, it's dark. I mean, we always race at night anyways, but, like, depending on what track we're at and where it's set up and all the things, like, it's dark.
There's some tracks that barely have lights on them except for directly on the track, so the starting line gets pretty dark.
Well, and then I remember one year we were in Ennis, and I was backing up Alan Bradshaw's car. He wasn't driving it, but somebody was, and the person that was driving it, Shane was supposed to, but he didn't. There was something about him not feeling comfortable in it. I have no idea. I forget, which is funny because that's the chassis we have now. So I don't know, something about it being set up, whatever. And so the guy driving that weekend, the guy that he's used to, it was like one of his crew guys. And in Ennis, you pull your car and you go like underneath the walkway, but people wouldn't turn
the tunnel
and people wouldn't turn off their headlights. And all I could see was like his shadow. And he didn't stick his arm in the air. It was like right in front of his chest.
Mm.
It was like, okay, real test right here. Like, do I actually know what I'm doing? Because I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, and this is kind of bad because there's so many lights.
Yes. It just makes a shadow.
Exactly. And that happened to me too. I think in Ennis last year, Cody didn't have the flashlight at night and I had my glasses on, but because there was so much outside light from it, I couldn't barely see him. So I kind of just had to guesstimate where Alex needed to go. And
Ennis at night is the ultimate test.
Yeah. It'll definitely put your eyes to the test for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So you may have an RBF, but you are absolutely not one. You are the most kind, generous, self, like a giver, a lover, team player, spunk, like fun, full of energy person, my opinion.
I appreciate that. My whole thing is life is too short to be mean and to be angry all the time. So I like to be just a little ball of happiness everywhere I go. So if I look like I'm mad, I'm probably either sweating or I'm trying to see. So I promise I'm not angry.
I'm just trying to see out here, folks.
I'm just working with my blindness.
Give me a break here. Okay. Well, I like that one. I do. I've never thought that. I've always thought you were a sweetheart. Fun. You keep the energy alive and you bring energy to, I don't know, a pit or a circle of people or whatever.
Like Diana was talking about in her episode, you know, racing, even me not owning the race car or buying parts for the race car, just going to and from the races is expensive. And it takes a lot of time and energy to get a whole...
Well, dedication and sacrifice and...
And to get everything out there. And the last thing that you want to do is spend all that time and money doing this stuff to then be greeted by people that are in a piss poor mood. So
I concur to that, but I can tell you that it's the opposite for me. Not the opposite, but like on the way to the races and coming home. But I have littles and they're fighting.
It's different.
They're all over the place, or they're this, or they need that, or they're, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Sit down and shut up. So, but yes. And then once I get to the track or I get home, I'm like, that was so much fun. And of course, my family's like looking at me like, what the hell? You're bitching at us the whole time. Like, let's forget about that part.
That's not important.
That's not important. Okay. Why are you guys focusing on the negative? Okay.
Positive people.
Exactly. Like, find the positives in everything. Okay, so track life. So we've talked, you are with Alex Barker. Is he the youngest one that we have, or is Jade younger?
As far as I know, Alex is the youngest funny car driver, nostalgia funny car driver in the country.
Okay.
Could be wrong. I very well could be wrong.
As far as we know, folks, we did not do research. She had no idea what I was going to be asking her.
Yeah, no. I just showed up, people.
I called her and I said, let's go.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he is the youngest Chaos driver for sure.
And kudos to him as well. I think it was Ennis that October golf cart gate episode.
Yeah.
We talked with you guys before the race even started. I don't know. Anyways, but what's fun also about him is that like he owns that car. Like it's not daddy's. Yeah, he doesn't drive it for daddy. He's like,
he owns from the nose of that car to the end of the wheelie bar. He owns every single piece of it.
Yeah. Which is outstanding. I mean, it's outstanding. So
when he bought the car, that was 2 years ago? He was 21 when he bought that car.
21-year-old are like out at bars getting drunk. This kid's over here like, let me buy that race car. Let me have that race car. I'm going to take that one right there. Thank you, buddy. Okay, so and they are with the Back in Black, and his dad drives the Nitro Back in Black.
So we're a two-car team. We have Alex's Blown Alcohol GTO, and then his dad, Todd, drives the Outlaw Top Fuel 69 Corvette, which she is currently out of commission right now because she got some scratches on her, but she will be back.
That little bitty took a ride in Ennis, but yes, she will be back. We will build back and be stronger.
Yep.
And not the famous
thing. Yeah, so it's a father-son team. It's actually, so both cars were built by the same guy, but they were never ran at the same time. He built one. I can never remember which one was built first. He built one, ran it for a couple years, parked it, and built the other one. Ran the second one, and then like switched, and then he ended up selling them, so he doesn't own either of them. But this is the first time that both cars have ran at the same time with the same team.
Well, that's fun. All these fun facts that you bring to the table. I love it. Okay, so that's kind of how we've talked about how you and Alex met, and that's kind of how you started bugging, but you have been, and you dabbled in you've been around racing your whole life. So this is your life.
I was born into it. My grandpa used to race flat bottoms back in the day with none other than Mr. Daddy Joe himself, Ken Singleton. They used to run each other back in the day. And so my mom grew up in it, and inadvertently I grew up in it as well because of that.
Jeez. But you've been like boat racing, car, like all the racing, not just like one, like where Shane has just been drag racing.
My first boat race, I was, I believe, 6 months old. Haven't stopped going to those since. We didn't really do a lot of like roundy round track stuff. We went to a couple of races like that, but for the most part, it's boats and drag racing, like car racing for me.
I was thinking when you were saying your first race, but I was pregnant with both kids on the starting line.
Yeah, my mom. I went to races when my mom was pregnant with me. Right. My first one out of the womb, I was like.
Yep.
It was either somewhere between 2 to 6 months old.
Yep. I was talking to Fred Spell yesterday, and we were just discussing like families and kids and stuff at the racetrack. And I was like, I'll never forget Pamela's first race at the track. And you have to pack the whole damn house. Like, it's not a joke.
Absolutely.
And it's looking back, you're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But from pack and play and toys and like, I mean, really getting into it. You got to bring your breast pump and the bathtub. And
it was your first kid too. So
you had to pack all things. Oh yes.
For everything.
Oh yes. And then Lane comes along and it's like, all right, we've got diapers. We're good. Let's go. Diapers and wipes. Let's go.
Diapers and a water hose is all you need for that kid.
Oh yeah. He lives his best life like that. What would you say is the best part of the track? What does it say? Hang on. Best part of the track and this racing experience you have had like this far?
Like the chaos?
Yeah, we can go with the chaos.
I think it's just the people that I've met. I mean, like one, for starters, me and you like literally talk all day, every day. And it's nice to, I know me personally, being in the profession that I'm in, I'm the only female welder in the shop. And for the most part, there's only three other women that are out in the shop. There's some women that work in the office, but there's only three other women, none in my department. So being able to have more girlfriends and stuff that I can kind of talk to and relate to a little bit more, that understand what it's like to be in the racing world, because a lot of people don't get it if you try to talk to, I don't want to say like regular people, but people that aren't involved in racing don't quite get it when you talk about it. So it's, I love being able to have a group of women that I can talk about real life stuff with and then talk about race car stuff with, and they understand it.
Yeah, that's, Amy said that, that she, you know, she'll go back home and be like, you know, Casey Rain, da 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 da, and they're like, "Kay, what does that mean?"
They have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know there's some things that you talk about to me, and I'm like, "Kay, you're gonna have to like, I need bullet points. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean?" But I feel like I'm getting a little bit better.
Are, for sure.
Yes.
But that's also just the fact that I've been in it for 21 years, and you've been in it for how long? Have you and Shane been married?
Married 10, together 11, and he was driving for Randy when I met him. So,
whole different ballpark from the chaos.
Oh my gosh. Just drag racing in general. It's, I mean, because where we live and where I grew up, small town Oklahoma, we would go to what is now, this is how crazy, what is now Pamela's home track, quote unquote, even though she like races with Shane and all the things, but her home track is the Tulsa one. And we would go out there to watch the midnight drags. And that's like, you know, your 1997 Honda Civic.
Everybody
with the fart pipe.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, and you may see drag racing on TV. I mean, I don't know. Like also where I'm from, a lot of people like NASCAR. So to actually like be in an event, and then like the first events that I went to, I mean, I would say pretty much until we started our own operation up again, was NHRA tracks and events. And that's intense.
That's like going from like your mom and pop diner on the corner of downtown to like a 5-star restaurant.
Yes.
Difference in terms of the atmosphere.
Just everything about it. But I've said this before and I'll say it again, and I stand behind it, that there's not one thing that I miss about NHRA. Because I mean, even getting to see Randy and his family, like we still see them. They used to race Nitro and we got to see him. I mean, we've gone to the girls' weddings and like their parties that they throw, and they've come to ours. And so the, No, not one thing. So, but yes, you have been born into this, and I have brought two into this. And I will say by far, I remember when Shane and I met, my dad said, "This is a lifestyle. It's not a hobby." And I was like, "I know." And now I give Shane crap because I'm like, it's a hobby. But behind closed doors, it's a lifestyle. It is.
Yeah, it's a commitment for sure.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Let's see. Who is one driver besides your Alex that you would love to meet and back up for? If there was anybody else that you could.
Funny enough, me and Alex have talked about this before, and me and Alex's dad both agree on this. I don't know what it is about this car. I've never met the guy that drives it. I know his name. Levi Keenan in the Illinois Thunder car.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I don't know what it is about that car, but I freaking love it. It is so, so pretty and just simple, but it is gorgeous.
I forgot about that car.
Probably my favorite car other than my car.
And you've never met Levi?
I've never met him.
That's interesting.
He's a Nitro car, so he usually only comes to the doubleheaders or the Nitro Chaos races.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And last year, all the doubleheaders, we had both cars at them, which that's always a super fun time to have a Nitro car and an alcohol car running at the same event within an hour of each other, and you have the same crew for one car as you do for the other car, and you got to split duties, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's pure chaos, and then it's late nights and early mornings and
all of the above.
All of the above, yes. As you guys experience that and as this year too. What is one thing that you can tell the people listening in to help them better understand? I'm gonna put this question together. Because we both run, which is nice, the Funny Car Chaos series. Alex and Shane both run it. Todd runs the Nitro, but Todd comes to all of Alex's, obviously. But what is like something that you can tell them to make them understand, like, in all honesty, what is the big deal about Funny Car Chaos and the hype about it, and why? I mean, we're both passionate about it, about the chaos and the bug life.
So I think with the chaos, the thing that one draws me to it and two draws a lot of these racers to it, because you get a lot of the old time guys that used to race, you know, like Ronnie Young used to race back in the day, and all the guys that have had these cars in storage for years, because most of the only other places that you can run nostalgia cars like these is with the NHRA Heritage Series, which is, they have just as many rules as the big show NHRA cars do, but with nostalgia body on it, you know, so they have limitations on blower size and fuel pump and the certain combinations that you can and can't run. But with the Funny Car Chaos, the only rule is that you have to have a flip top funny car. You can run nitro, alcohol, screw blower, roots blower, as big or as small as a fuel pump as you want. You could run like Jade and have the pro charged car. You can run a twin turbo car, literally anything you can think of that you can fit under a flip top body funny car, you can run with the chaos. And that's why we get so many people from literally all over the world that come and race with us, because there's nowhere else where you can find such a place that opens all the different variety with open arms, with no qualms about it.
And what is it? I don't know if they say it anymore. I know they used to. They, as in, like, I think Chris and them, but it's like a bring what you got.
Run what you brung.
There you go. That's what they used to say.
I think that's the big appeal. One, to bring more racers into it, and two, to bring fans into the stands. Because, like I said, we have Joachim Jungberg that is from Sweden that races with us. And, you know, we have twin turbo cars, we've got nitro cars, alcohol cars, nitro big block Chevrolet with Ray Stringer that I believe is the only one in the country that runs that. But, you know, there's just so much variety that the one thing that I can say is that, like, when you go to an NHRA race, if you're looking in one class, all the cars are going to look the same other than the different sponsors on the cars.
Agreed.
Other than that, they're all the exact same, because they have to be, because that's the rules. But with the chaos, you see something different every single pass down the track.
Okay, so
what were you saying? Because you cut out right as you went to go say something.
You were talking about how every pass down the track, the cars aren't going to look the same. And I said that, like, Shane and Alex's car look nothing alike. Now, our old Man of War body was a nostalgia. And it was
more similar
right
to the DTO. But that's another thing too that I love about Alex's car, is he is one of only two GTO body funny cars for sure in the US and possibly in the world that exist today.
Alex just like killing all those things.
Yeah, and the guy that used to drive Alex's car, Trevin Lewis. I cannot remember his name to save my life, but he drives the other GTO body funny car. Like, he's driven both of them.
Okay, so his is a GTO and Todd's is a Corvette.
But they're both 69-year models.
See, I don't understand any of that. Like, if I was driving down the road and look over, like, I may see a 69 Corvette. And it's going to look like Todd's car. I don't see. This is what I'm saying. I don't understand this stuff.
No, it's based off of
the 69.
Yeah, okay. So obviously, like, you know, like you said, you're not going to look over and see a funny car body just rolling down the road. I mean, if somebody wants to turn a funny car body car into a daily driver, then that's on them. But
could you imagine? It's pulling up to Sonic on Sunday and grandma and grandpa over here.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
We're just here for our cherry limeade.
But yeah, no, it's a, I love seeing, and it's the same with the ladies too. There's no two women that look the same, and everybody comes up with such different ideas, whether it's for the theme or just to match their cars for every weekend, that, you know, just like the cars, you're never guaranteed to see the same person twice.
Right.
And it's fun because you get a, it almost, like, I feel like a Barbie doll when I go down the track. You know, I get to dress up in my fun little outfit and,
which is like complete opposite of what you wear Monday through Friday.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah,
and if it's not race weekend, I'm sure you're not prancing around town in your go-go boots. I mean, you could be.
Definitely. I'm not. Definitely not.
Strolling into the old town with the old blue glittery boots on. Morning, y'all.
No. Yeah, how y'all doing? Walking into the bar with my 4-inch platforms on. Yeah, I don't think that would, I don't think my feet would like me very much if I did that.
They'd be like, Emily, you're drunk. Go home. That old famous saying, take her and go home. What would you say would be the best part of being a bug and the worst part? Or the least favorite, or however you want to word it?
I think the worst part about it, I know people, a lot of the ladies have said, you know, dressing up. But for me personally, it's the, I don't want to say helplessness, but, you know, once that car fires up and I back him up and he's lined up, like, it is entirely out of my hands. There is nothing that I can do once that car rolls into the first staging light. And something about, like, obviously I'm not going to be able to, there's nothing that I can do to help that car once it rolls into the beams. But God, I wish that there was, because it just stresses me out not knowing what's going to happen until it happens. It just, that, I think that's probably the worst part for me, just the not knowing and not having any control over it.
Man, that's a first. Everybody else is what I'm going to wear, or do I have to, or
the best part for me is getting to dress up. Cause like you said, in my day to day, I wear men's Wranglers in racing t-shirts and steel toe boots. So I look like a little boy 90% of the time. So when I get to go to the track and wear my sparkly boots or my pretty shorts or my fancy shirts and whatnot, and I get to talk to all these people and meet all these people at the track that I've never met before, because I am a very bright and bubbly person when I want to be. So I like to talk to people and get to know stories and, you know, see how far they came from and all that jazz. And especially talking to all the little kids that come up to the track. That is by far the best part for me, is just getting to dress up and, you know, the whole looking good, feeling good thing.
Yes, yes.
Definitely applies to me. I know I feel my best when I look my best.
Right.
And so just having that little extra confidence boost and getting to be social with all these people from all over the place is so much fun.
When you were describing what you wear to work, and all I can envision was like walking around with like a dip in your mouth. Like, I'm going to go wrestle the cattle or something. I don't know. Like, my Wranglers and my steel-toe boots. Gotta go get the bull. He got out again.
It sounds like Mama Jo.
Yeah, right? Minus the dip. She does, though. She gets out there and gets... Oh, man. They got a new bull. And the my kids named it Ferdinand.
Yes, so, I remember that.
Yeah, she's... That, so far, that one's doing great. So, being your second full-time season in the Funny Car Chaos. So, kind of... Not really, but kind of like a newbie, only 2 years of full seasons. What would you say Funny Car Chaos like means to you, and how would you explain to fans or like somebody who's thinking about coming into the chaos that races NHRA or races Midwest or, you know, another association? Like, what would you say and how would you describe the chaos?
I would say if you are looking for a group of people that is going to welcome you with open arms and help you whenever you need it, and not only help you thrash on the motor when you need to get it put back together or tear it apart or whatever, but they'll also sit there with you and drink a beer with you when the day's over and just listen to music and bullshit with you, then come to Chaos. Because there is, as far as I know, not a single person that is never not willing to help out another racer in need. I know we've loaned out parts to y'all. We've gotten spark plugs from you for Alex's car. You know, everybody wants to see everyone succeed. And if you want to be in a racing environment that's not quite as, I mean, I would say it's not as competitive, but it absolutely is. But you won't find another environment where everybody wants to see their teammates that are also their competitors succeed as much as you will in the chaos.
We've talked about that before. I concur to that. 100%. Like the succeeding.
Like a broken record,
I know we've kind of talked about this, but like you get to explain it and talk more on it. But it really is like everybody's just one big team. At the end of the day, like
as David was saying last night, we are the chaos.
Yes. He had a lot of good sayings last night.
Yeah, there was.
Amy was taking notes, so we'll have to regroup on that and use those. Yeah. Okay. I think that's all the questions I've got for you. We'll do the burning question. Is there anything you want to say or dabble in or talk about that I didn't about yourself? It's about you.
I do have to say really quick.
Yes.
I just want to say thank you to all of the photographers that we have at the track. You know, Jason Brandt Photography, Nubs.
He's been MIA lately.
I know. Where's he been?
I don't know. He got back into law enforcement, I think.
Yeah, we got Russell Brown, Tom Brown. Just thinking of the main ones off the top of my head. But they always get such good photos, every single one of them, at every, and they all have very different photography styles.
Yes.
Which I love, because you're never going to get two photos from the same weekend that look exactly the same.
Right. Right. And I will say, though, that, like, I felt like when we first started the chaos, I mean, yes, a majority of the pictures are of the cars and the crew and things like that. But I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like here lately, like, the bugs are getting more.
They're getting a lot more people pictures now,
mm-hmm.
which I love, because all of them all get really good candid shots of everybody. And I think it's awesome because you can see everybody's personality in all of their photos.
Yes. Yeah, I agree to that. Okay, I just thought of one, and it was from last night when David disappeared and then popped back up. Lee came in and filled in for him while we were on. because I don't think that you got the chance to put your input on it. I mean, obviously we as bugs could go on about this and on, but what is one thing that you would say to people that I don't know exactly how we worded it, but like the haters of the bugs, like they're useless, they're pointless, they're just out there for attention or whatever, I think is like kind of, do you feel like that's how the question was? I mean, he said it was a lot more nicer and professional, but like the haters out there.
Essentially, it was like, what do you say to the haters that say that the bugs don't need to be out there, that they're just taking the attention away from the cars and all that stuff? To them, I would say, what's your deal, dude?
Right, sit down.
Yeah, get your sticky fingers off of the keyboard and quit being hateful. Because we're not taking attention away from the car. If anything, we bring more attention to the car and to the crews. And, you know, just because we're going out there in pretty outfits, you know, we're not walking out there with our butt cheeks hanging out, you know, showing all of our goods to the world for free. We're matching our cars and we're being classy and we're wearing fun outfits. It's like Halloween at the track for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get to wear my high heels and all the glitter and the sequins and all this stuff and have fun with it. And it's not hurting anybody. We're not causing harm to anyone by doing this.
Well, and so mind you as well, I mean, every crew is different, every relationship, every marriage, but I can tell you right now that if I were to walk out in something that I'm like, I mean, it just absolutely like showing or all the goods or whatever, like, I mean, if I can make it past Pamela, I'm damn sure not going to make it past Shane. But if that's what you're wanting to like wear and things like that, like who's, do you know what I mean? Like
a way that I know you've said it or Diana said it is that a big thing, especially with as many kids as we have out on the track, is
because we are so like the chaos and like what Amy's doing with the chaos for kids though. Like, I mean, I have one. I mean, I have two kids, but like I have one that races the chaos. But yeah, go ahead. Like, we are so teen kids.
Yeah. And I know I think it was Diana that said it. We are, whether we realize it or not, these kids, especially the little girls at the track, look for the big girls on the track, the big kids. And they use that as a, I don't want to say a reference, but if you see, you know, 10 people walking down the street wearing the same thing, then that's going to influence you to think, wow, that's the right thing to wear, right? So by us, whether we realize it or not, we are influencing the younger generation of kids at the track by showing them what's appropriate and what's not. And Diana said it best, saying that we are raising the next generation to be excellent women, not just excellent girls. We want them to be classy and respect themselves. And that's what I strive to do is have fun with my outfits, but not do anything too crazy to where it's like, now you're taking attention away from the car, you know?
Yeah. And I think some people don't, I mean, they could either go, you're taking attention or meaning that statement as in like, you're taking attention away from the car, but also like, you know, we'll just take you for an example. Like, look at that long, gorgeous girl. Like, she doesn't know what she's doing. And we talked about it last night in the live, and it's like, and I mean, I know Diana covered it, but we do have a job when we get out there. And again, when it comes to whatever team and they want the pretty thing that doesn't know what she's doing, then like, that's on them. But like, we have a job. We have things to listen for. We have, you know, we need to look and we need to all like, it's a whole thing. Like, would it be nice if we just got to stand out there and look pretty and look at me and backing you up? Yeah, that's fine. But we have a job. And I mean, I know for my team, I can say it's not like any Joe Schmo can come in and back Shane up. And I know every team is like big on routine, but
absolutely.
It's like, I mean, Shane is very, very big on routine, especially right before he goes and runs his car. And Pamela is the same way. And I love the fact that she's like that because, I mean, yes, in the grand scheme of things, she's just driving a junior. I mean, yes, at 8 years old, she's going as fast as she is, but she's in that routine already. And she doesn't like it switched up. Like, I mean, even in Ennis, Shane's going up there in his fire suit and Odessa too. Because they were running them back to back, and she likes her dad strapping her in. They have their little talk. They do their thing. And we had Keith there, but it's, and he was helping, but it's like that's part of their routine, her being comfortable, her confidence. So, I mean, going back to the, if you put somebody out there who doesn't know what they're doing, I mean, that's on you.
But it's going to show.
It's going to show, and I can tell you, the majority of the funny car chaos, like those women know what they're doing. So if you think that's your problem, you don't know the facts. You're just speaking to speak.
Yeah. If,
and it obviously got your attention. So you're welcome, buddy.
Yeah. You're the one that's still sitting here watching. So
yeah, I don't know. You didn't get to answer that last night. And I wanted to know your input on that one. I mean, I feel like we could sit here and talk about this all day long on that comment, but, okay. So big things kind of coming to, we've got Eddyville coming up next week. Memorial Day weekend, we themed it, patriotic in honor of those that have served or still serving. I think the pot's up to what, $200 now. So, that'll be Q3. We got, so stay tuned for that. That I'm excited to see. I mean,
to see what everybody brings out.
Yes. Yes. This kind of stuff is just near and dear to my heart. Like my brother served, my dad's best friend, my grandpa, like we have tons of people. I mean, your sister.
Yeah, my sister's in the Marine Corps. Like we're all, I don't know anybody in the chaos who doesn't.
That's another thing.
Support
that, like,
our country.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go out on a whim, but I'm gonna say this is probably gonna be my most favorite turnout. I hope it is, because I mean, we all.
I think it'll be the easiest one for everybody because I don't know anyone, especially anyone in the chaos, that doesn't have something red, white, and blue in their closet.
Oh yeah, yeah, or on their car, or in their pits.
We have a car called Made in America.
Right.
So.
Well, and then. We have two. I always do this. What are the two? There's
American Dream.
There you go. And then Made in America. Yeah.
Yep.
So clearly chaos loves America. So we've got that coming up. And then we've posted the rest of our themes. I mean, we can talk about those later. I think it's been a great turnout. It's been so fun.
Absolutely.
Everybody has shown up and showed out. And I love it. And then
as I know everybody has had fun with it as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard backlash about anything. I don't know if people are, or people just don't tell me about it. I don't know.
If they don't have anything nice to say, then don't say it at all.
I just don't feel like sometimes people's moms taught them that.
And I feel like some people need to be told that a little more often.
Yeah. They didn't drink from a water hose growing up or get busted with a belt.
Yep. And it shows.
And it shows. And then I was kind of watching back the live last night. I don't know if it made sense, but I had brought this to you and was like, how fun would it be? And I mean, I went on to talk about like autograph sessions and whoever the person is, like blowing up their picture and taking that and putting it on a display, kind of like Miss America. Going back to We Love America, but doing a bug of the chaos. And so kind of like, I don't know, like, I'm not saying like a, how am I trying to describe this?
Basically, we want to have like our, you know, obviously we're not going to cut other bugs out of it. Everybody's still going to be at the track packing up their cars. But Bonnie wanted to kind of have the one person, like the, almost like the prom queen, you know, she's the one that represents everybody else a little bit more. So it's like the one person that you can come to answer all your questions about it, that's always willing to talk to people about it and help and talk to the fans and sign autographs and all this stuff. And we just thought, she thought it would be a fun idea to do.
Yeah. And then I remember that day you were at work and you were, I was like, bam, 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 text messages. And you're like, hold on, I'm almost on lunch. Let me get back to you. But yeah, do like the whole crown thing and the whole sash. And we need to start up the autograph sessions again. And
yes.
Have her or his, like, and that's another thing. Like, yes, Bugs and our pages are backup girls official, but we are total backup guides. Like, no discrimination here, people. We love the dudes. We love the chicks. Like, we are all in this together. We all do it together. We all have so much fun. It's kind of like, you know, our sandbox. If you don't like it, don't come play in it. Like,
exactly.
Go elsewhere. And so my idea was kind of in Mocan, go around and ask each team to, or like the driver of the team or whoever just wants to be the spokesperson, but ask them, you know, if you had to choose who you think would be Bug of Chaos for 2025, who would it be? And then we'll tally it up. Everybody gets to vote. They don't get to vote for their own bug, just to kind of make it like an even playing field, and no feelings get hurt. And then we'll tally it up, kind of announce it and ramp it up for a 2025 season. So I don't know. I just think it would be fun and get more people, I think, excited about it as well.
You know, it's
because we have bugs from both genders, obviously, and all ages, and it's just a big old family.
Yeah, and it always helps to bring a little bit more excitement to it. There's nothing wrong with bringing a little fun to it.
Right. And I mean, these bugs deserve the spotlights. Like, you know, we do the Spotlight Wednesday and doing them on the podcast, and like, they deserve it. Like, these people are incredible. Like, they are incredible, all walks of life, different, like, they've come from all over, they've been through different things, and they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
is how I look at it. I love to get to know people. I mean, that's like when Amy was saying about Diana's podcast, she was just like, you think that you know somebody and then you listen to them and they're talking, yes, about life at the track, but life outside the track. And then they say something and you're just like, that is such a good way to look at it. Like, I've been looking at this all wrong. Or no wonder, you know, I wasn't feeling whatever about this, but they put it this way, so I feel way more better about it or whatever. And so I love learning about people. Somebody can teach you something.
Absolutely.
You can learn from anybody and everybody. So I don't know. I just think it would be a fun little deal. And then, like I said, I just took it and was like, let's kind of make it like Miss America and give them the love and that they deserve. And, you know, when we do go around and ask some of the things, just like highlight one of the lovely individuals who kind of brings what a bug is to the chaos, and someone who is kind and helps in all areas, even like with the ladies or the teams, or, you know, just an all around team player, who they think is like a true bug.
Yeah, so exactly. And like Bonnie said, this was her idea that she had, so I'm kind of just letting her take free rein with it. I do work 50 plus hours a week, so it's a little bit easier for her to handle some of this stuff. So
I think it's fun. Should we do like a junior bug?
You can definitely. We've definitely got some things to finalize before we.
No, totally. We have until MoCan. Because as of now, we're still on schedule. MoCan being the last race of the season. So we have till MoCan, which is Labor Day weekend. I feel like it's now. quickly approaching, though. Like, we're already halfway through May.
We're already almost halfway through the season.
Yeah. So, no, we've got some things to find, like, finalize, figure out how we're going to do it or whatever. But to finalize, but that's something also to look forward to. Again, Eddyville's a double hitter with the Funny Car and the Nitro Chaos. So that'll be a big fun one. What else do we have? What's after that? Cordova.
Yeah, we go to Cordova and then Albuquerque and then Mocan.
And then Mocan.
They have Kearney is an invitational race.
Right, right.
And then Maryland, which is a non-points, which we will not be going to because it's 23 hours one way. So that one is...
Wasn't Jordan Ballou?
Yeah, Jordan went last year and so did...
Hoffman.
Yes, because Wayne Hoffman. They're from up there.
Right, but I would say Jordan with the longest haul to get there.
Oh, absolutely. It was 20. It took them a full week there and back.
My gosh.
Like, from the time they left until the time they got home, it was a full week.
That is probably, if it ever becomes a point race, I will just pack Shane's clothes.
Yeah, I will fly in.
Go ahead and pick a bug to bug you, because I'm probably not going to make that haul. I would fly, but then I'd have to drive back with him. No, thank you.
I'll pass.
Yeah, no thanks. Okay, well, thanks for sitting down. I mean, with us. I mean, I know you do this one. We do this with the other ladies, but when I said, hey, your turn.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Two nights in a row you get interviewed.
Yeah. It's a lot more talking than I was expecting to do at home this week.
Wow.
But
it's fine.
I'm happy to do it. I'm glad to get to tell my story a little bit. I know a lot of people freak out when they find out what I actually do for a living.
They just don't think you're going to hit them with that.
Yeah.
At all. Especially when you're wearing your go-go boots and your sparkly shorts and your tank top. Like, that's the last thing they think you're going to say, I'm sure.
But I think it's fun. I have fun.
We need welders. So, I'm here for it. Okay, we're going to end it with a burning question. I randomly picked... I found him this time. Okay. So when Alex listens to this.
Gosh.
I think it's funny because I literally randomly picked it. And feel like it's a great one. It says, name the one bad quality you can tolerate in a partner.
Owning a race car.
Okay, well, that was easy. Well, then let's switch it up. You cannot tolerate in a partner.
One that I cannot tolerate.
You cannot.
Laziness.
Ooh. Okay, well, he's like not someone, that either.
If someone that just doesn't have any desire to better themselves, I guess. Like, not that you necessarily, like, have to, you know, constantly be changing and doing all this stuff, but someone who's just like does the bare minimum and is fine with it, I don't like that.
Is that in a partner or life in general? Both. Huh? You cut out again.
Both.
I would agree to that.
There's nothing, especially working with lazy people is the worst because they make the day just go by so much slower.
Pamela and I were talking about that the other day. They had a little third grade group project, and when they were told about it, she was excited. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I remember, like, in college, like
doing group projects,
and it's like, we're grown adults, right? Well, per the age in America, right? And like, they can be fun, but they can absolutely be the most miserable thing in the world if you don't have everybody pulling their weight. And when she got done with it, she was like, that was not fun.
Yeah,
I was like, no.
when I was in school, I used to ask my teachers if I could just, like, if we were supposed to do a group project, I was like, can I just do it by myself? Because I'll be a lot less angry if I just do it by myself.
I want to be able to, like, keep the acquaintances that I have. And if you put me with them, it's not going to work out. No, that's a good answer. I would agree with that one too. I would definitely agree with that one. Okay. Do you feel like we hit all the...
If y'all have any more questions for us for future episodes, feel free to reach out to us on the Backup Girls official page. All of our social media is at Backup Girls official. We're always looking forward to hearing from you guys, and make sure you check out all of our sponsors. If you're needing any truck and trailer work, if you need any med spa stuff, photography, literally anything, we got y'all covered.
Yeah. We've got the best in the business, so. Alrighty, so, well, until next
y'all
time.
Y'all have a great week, and we will see you at the track.
Bye.